Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to Footy Prime News and Dubs, your one-stop destination for footy news and dubs. Yeah, that's Amy Walsh. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
No, but do tell.
So far,
what happened to Warner?
Should we save it for the podcast? We're recording right now, aren't we?
I don't know. I stayed up for another two hours waiting for Warner to, well, waiting for Steve Chang, I should say.
Oh.
And, what a prick.
And he left.
Where were you?
He did the exit stage left so fucking fast. It was unbelievable. I didn't even see it. The other guys are like, there's Wonger. He's gone.
But is that a Wonger move? Does he do that frequently? Does he just disappear?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Irish goodbye.
He does the Houdini.
I was like, well, you know what? But here's the thing. He's not hard to find, though. After he leaves, it looks, and this is the thing, look for like the greasiest takeout closest to where you just were, and that's a thing. One time we were watching the NBA playoffs, and it was Raptors and Celtics. Game was over. It was done. But then I think it was OG hit a three and tied it up, and it was like, oh my god! And then like 30 seconds later, Wonger comes in with a big bag of Chinese food from the place next door that we always go, and we embraced and watched the rest of the game. It was amazing. Don't be deceived. He's always a little bit close by.
I've got an image of Wonger too. Like if he leaves, does the Irish goodbye, and then you're on your way home, and you'd stumble past a Chinese restaurant, and you see this solitary, broken figure in the back of the restaurant, sitting by himself, just devouring enormous portions of food, but just this abject look of defeat on his face. That's Wonger. That's Steve Chang, actually.
Did you say a solitary broken figure or a solitary broken finger?
Both.
he's there eating his... Pointing and gesturing aggressively.
Yeah. He's there eating his noodles and just like looking at the finger, thinking, where did it all go wrong?
We had an over-under.
Don't you point at me with that finger.
35 high fives last night. Oh.
So good. You know, Rian did that to me on, oh my God, what night was it? On Tuesday. The Irish goodbye. I was like, where the fuck are you? She's like, I'm sorry I left. I couldn't find you. I was like, what do you mean you couldn't find me? It really wasn't that big of a room.
Well, you're probably surrounded by all your minions, your thousands of supporters who love you so much.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No, I've got no problem at all with the Irish goodbye. I hate goodbyes anyway. Complete waste of freaking time, which is a great segue. Yeah. By the way, it's Footy Prime, the podcast. And that's Amy Walsh and Jimmy Brennan's here and Craig Forrest and Jeff Cole. I'm James Sharman. Wonger missing in action. But it's a great segue about Irish goodbyes, given that we saw Christine Sinclair say her farewell this week. And we got us talking. Actually, this is Wonger's idea. So he's been thinking about this his entire life. And I think we have discussed this on previous editions of Footy Prime, but not for a long time. Goodbyes in football A, when was your goodbye? When was your farewell match? What happened? What were your emotions in the room, outside the room, but also in a perfect world? How would you like to be celebrated in your final match? Dubs, go ahead.
Oh my God. I thought this is going to be one of those Footy Prime things where we discuss it, we talk about doing it, everyone's really enthusiastic, and then we just drop the ball and don't do it. So I actually didn't prepare anything. But I kind of was robbed of that, not of like a send-off like Christine got, because I never would have gotten that, right? But when I played my last game in 2009, I didn't know it was my last game because I got pregnant soon after and then trained all throughout my pregnancy and wanted to come back and play and ideally would have finished out that cycle. Played the 2011 World Cup with Carolina and then been a part of that team that won bronze. So yeah, didn't get to do that. And who knows if I even would have made that squad, but like, that's what I wanted to do. So that's one side of it. And then how would I have liked to have gone out? I think just knowing, you know, cause we've had this discussion before that as a player, there's so much that's not within your control and that having success is controlling the things that you can, you know, like your effort, like your training, like everything that goes on off the field, doing your due diligence to make sure that you're maximizing your potential while you're in that short window of time where you can succeed. Right. But I think I don't know. But then like
maybe big event shit here, Dubs.
I know, but like just
that's not you.
Just knowing that would have been my last game, I think having an idea and having a little bit of control.
That happens a lot, doesn't it? I think to players that you don't know it's your last game. It's
that's
like
it.
There's like that last time you pick up your kid and hug her or him. You don't know it's your last time, but there will be that last time when you never do it again. What's that look for? It's true. When your kid,
I know what that feels like.
185 pounds. You know the last time you picked up Cheyenne?
Oh, is that what we're talking about?
It's got like really dark, didn't it? I thought
I'm not talking about death here.
I'm just talking thank about God.
When your like, kids are
it's terrible.
I thought you were talking about sex.
No.
What the fuck is going on?
I don't know. My point being, it wasn't even trying to be amusing or irreverent. The point is, when your boys' doubles are weighing almost 200 pounds, you're not lifting them up, are you? So there'd be that moment, that time before then, when you've lifted that kid up for the last time.
Yeah.
You don't know when it is.
Yeah.
You too, Jimmy. Craig, you've probably done it.
I get it now.
Yeah, I know. It took me a little while too. It's not your best analogy, Sharms, I have to say.
Yeah.
Why is it? I think it's bang on, actually.
Really?
It's a big moment, right? We all love lifting our kids up, give them a hug. You know, they run to greet you at the door occasionally, although she's a teenager now, so it's less and less. But when she's 130 pounds, I'm not lifting her up. Look at that. Hurt my back. So there'll be a time before then, and it's that lovely moment, the lovely experience will be no longer, it'll be but a distant memory, like your careers.
I think you just need to hit the gym. Hit the gym, Sharps. You can lift more than 130 pounds.
Not without hurting my back. All right, Jimmy. So Dubs kind of let us down. I was hoping some massive, great, you know, festival, you know, Dubs Fest, when people from around the world descend upon a park and just have this incredible celebration. But no,
I didn't score enough for there to be a Dubs Fest. I think it also was based upon what kind of player you were.
You're bang on there. You're so right.
Right?
It's true. And it's too bad because I think I've always appreciated that hard worker in the middle of the park, someone that's going to bust it. I don't care about the glory seekers goal scorers. But yeah, you're right. Although, yeah, I think you're right because they're just a superstars, aren't they? It's all stats or everything, I suppose. Jimmy, did you know it was your last game when you played your last game?
I didn't. It was a funny one. I was playing against Columbus. I think it was in 2010. It was like three or four games into the season. And I was struggling in the mornings. I couldn't get up. My ankles, my knees, my hips. And I was kind of thinking, do I finish the season now? And I remember I had conversation with Mo, and he says, look, do you want to come upstairs? Remember I told you the story, and thought I was going to go elsewhere. And then I stayed. We had some conversations. And then it was just one of them where I just went, okay, well, I'm retired. I played on Saturday. It was like a Tuesday. And I was like, I'm done. Thank you very much.
That was in Mo's office.
But I was fine. I was fine with that because I was the type of guy too that I didn't need all the bells and whistles and big fucking send offs and that wasn't my jam. I wasn't all for that. I kind of just like to say thank you very much, little handshake, and I was done on my way. And then with the national team, I think my last game was against might have been Mexico in a World Cup qualifier. I think that was my last one with Canada. That's when I came out and said I was retiring. I think Forrest did the interview for that as well. Mm. Didn't you do that? You did that interview. Remember outside my condo with Jerry. Anyways, that was
super memorable for him.
Yeah,
that's right.
Anyways, that was mine. My last game was against Columbus for Toronto FC.
So, but you retired basically in Mo's office that day.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you remember the conversation
with him? Yeah, it was.
No, he retired. He retired at the front post.
Yeah. Oh, he barely got off the ground.
When I got beat.
What's the line, Craig? What's the line
he said? The Toronto Sun under his feet.
That's it. Yeah.
And that post paper was pretty thick back then.
Oh, that's funny. So Mo, did he put it to you like it's still your choice here, Jimmy? But what? His time, or was he more, no, you're done, you're not playing for me ever again?
Pretty much both.
in a nice kind of way.
And I was like thinking, okay, because I was at the point too where I was starting to think, what do I want to do after football? I knew
it was this, wasn't it? It was this, it was podcasting.
And then, you know, when I looked at it,
worked out well.
And I thought, you know, the path that I go down, eventually I'm going to end up on this shit podcast. And I did.
Yep, you did.
Yeah.
What about your teammates, Jimmy? Like, you made that decision. I'm sure, you know, your family and close friends, and you probably had discussions long before that. But, like, were your teammates surprised? They saw you try to jump for that ball as well.
Not surprised.
They saw me go down like some sniper hit me with nobody around me. Legs giving way. No, they were good. I think a lot of them were surprised. You know, they thought I could have played more, which I probably could have. But I just went in, just said thank you very much. Had a quick chat with them all, shook their hands. And I just think it was the timing for me was right. And I thought, you know, do you continue playing for a year or two? And then you might not get this opportunity that the club gave me. Right, that could have went to somebody else, or it might have been gone. And then I thought, even if I left Toronto and went to another MLS club, you know, what's next? Because we all know how difficult it is to get into a club or a pro club after football. And when that was presented to me on the table, I just felt, you know, now's the time. I've had a good career over in Europe. I played in MLS, and I thought, you know, this is a moment for me where I'll hang up the boots. I feel healthy. You know, my body's not in too bad of a shape, and I've got an opportunity after football. So the timing was right for me.
Who took the armband after you? I forget.
I think it was Dero.
Was it Dero? Okay.
Yeah, I think it was Dero.
Was there a ceremonial handing over of the armband?
No.
No, they all like, avert their eyes from you and just, you know, take their knees and just bow their heads, and you present with them the armband and say, yeah.
I threw it in the kit laundry basket with my jersey and everything.
Because Dero was after that for a while, I bet he was, wasn't he?
Yeah. But the club was good too, though, because they gave me a nice presentation ceremony at one of the games. I think it was maybe like halfway through the season, and I came out and got a standing ovation from the fans, and so I was nice. And
a box of donuts.
Yeah.
What's that, Greg?
A box of donuts
they gave him.
Yeah. Threw some eggs at me. Yeah.
Was there a press conference? There must have been, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there was. There.
I think I was there, actually.
That's how good it was.
I think I think it was KJ, broke it, and you and Mo were all pissed off, weren't you? Didn't that happen?
probably.
It did, right? I think so. Remember, yeah, I think that was why you and Mo had a little chat with me in the side once. Hmm. And I said, hey, don't be yelling at me. It's KJ's fault.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy holds grudges.
Yep, clearly. And this is a long way. He's planning. It's very slow, but he's going to get it back at me at some point. This is why he's on the show. He accepted the invitation to the show because on the long run, he's going to fuck me over somehow just to get me back.
I got my good eye on you.
Yeah, which one's that? We know which one on the left, is it?
You're looking off screen, Jimmy.
Now, Craig, your story is pretty tragic, right? Because you thought you could continue playing. But you got let down by your club when you got the big C, essentially, right? That's what happened. You had a contract waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was just thinking about Christine Sinclair the other night, and that's a really rare situation. Really rare and fantastic at the same time. But I think the stars sort of aligned as far as where her retirement was sitting and how it worked out. But we also celebrate, which I think is the hardest part of the game, and that's putting the ball in the back of the net. We celebrate that more than anything else, and rightly so, because, like I said, it's difficult. But as far as getting sent off or wanting a sending off, it very rarely happens. Very rarely happens. And I'm not that sort of type either, where I don't need the big blow job to send me off for sure, but...
Wouldn't say no, though.
I wouldn't say no. Seemed like a fun event.
A blowjob or a four-game goodbye tour?
Just the happy ending.
Oh, the blowjob.
A little soapy wank.
Did you ever get a chance to address, say farewell to the fans at West Ham ever? You didn't, right, I'm assuming. I mean, it doesn't happen so much in English football.
No, I didn't really have time to say farewell to the players, let alone it was my. I said, lads, right, this could be my last training session, you wankers. Brighten up. And it was.
It's during the season, right, that you got the diagnosis? Or was it preseason? I forget. During the season.
Mm-hmm. During the season.
So you just kind of disappeared into the ether. Like one day Craig's no longer in the room and no one asked questions. Who was that big Canadian guy who was here?
He pulled a Wonger. He went off to get Chinese. Yeah.
How could they not see you leaving?
Seriously.
Craig pulled a Dan Wong at West Ham. That's funny.
At 1 a.m., I just did the exit stage left.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, Sharms, just before we go to something else, the only thing I wish that I would have had at the end of my career would have been less about me and more about my family. Like that moment that those guys got on the pitch and like Jimmy, you were talking about TFC gave you, like it would have been a chance for me to be there with my mom and my dad and my sisters and my brother and people who had made a difference and like really sacrificed a shit ton in order to get me there. And that is what I wish I could have had so that they got their due less than me getting my due.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we haven't talked about really with Christine too, or anybody when retirement, is that how difficult it can be. And I often think about how that's going to be for Christine. This is all she's ever known for her entire life. It's a big blow to somebody who's, this is what they've done. And how do you
blow? Jesus.
Being a normal person.
No, you're right. You're right. Maybe one day we'll get her on the podcast and we'll ask her.
Yeah, when she's got nothing to do.
That's not happening. We keep trying. No interest there. Fair enough. Nor would I. You know what? All you big time Charlie former athletes, though, you know, you always want these big sending off, you know, and you want to say thank you to your family and your parents. You sacrificed so much. Well, what about the regular people like me and JC? We don't get the chance to do that in our jobs and careers. Why do you think you have to? You know, our parents sacrificed for us as well, right, JC? Yeah. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
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 It's like athletes own this.
Yeah.
Our parents were so important to us. It's like an athlete thing.
No, it's too bad you don't have a public forum to speak your mind, Charms, and let people know how you feel and let your family know how much they meant.
Doing it now.
It's too bad you don't have that.
You know, my dad, as I love sports growing, my dad would drive me to rugby every week and
to the other team.
Yeah.
I'd sacrifice his Saturday mornings. You know?
He loved it. He just didn't love you.
Just because you're mad at your dad, don't take it out on us.
Daddy issues. Yeah. I got daddy issues.
Hey, how was your Charmin's proper Christmas party?
It was good. It was great. I mean, I'm sick and the wife's sick. So we weren't our
sounds
usual.
Sounds like a blast.
I know, exactly. So we weren't our usual, you know, just didn't own the room like we would usually, obviously. But I know it was good. They're great, great people that work for us. And I made it very clear that they work for us. And that, you know, we sat at the end in the slightly raised chairs looking down at them. Yeah. It was
ivory
nice.
Ivory tower.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. It was a nice time. It was, but I only had a couple of beers because I just felt like shit.
Did you have a speech?
No. Well, I've only just kind of returned into the fold, right? The last month or so.
Right.
And Tony's not one for public speaking, apart from my little toast and a thank you cut type thing. I would have crushed it.
Yeah. Well, I think you would have started. How would you have started? I'm here. Right. Sit down, you peasants. Let's not talk.
Avert your eyes. Your god is about to present. Then I show
my kiss
ass.
My ring, please.
Yeah,
and drop
that kind
pen.
Of stuff.
Yeah,
it's my empire. All right. By the way, Jimmy, we didn't hear from you. Like, would you like have liked a bigger send off? Would you? What would your ideal farewell have been? We saw Sinky having four games. We see these big ceremonies at other clubs. Dubs, obviously one of the big Dubs Fest. What about you?
Me?
Yeah.
For a send-off?
Yeah, in a perfect world. What's a perfect farewell?
I think the perfect one would have been for me just to announce it, play my game, give a little wave to the fans, and then walk off and go get in a tub.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. Beers. That would have been the truth for me. Just play my last game, let people know that, okay, I'm retiring, and then done. That would have been – and I don't look back. I didn't think, oh, did I get a good farewell? No, because I didn't really care. I didn't really care. But if I had to do it, and that would have been it. I would have just announced I was retiring, played my last game, little wave. Thank you very much, everybody. Goodbye.
I can see it now, low-angle camera shot as you're walking off the pitch, down the tunnel, Brennan and Blazin on your back. I could just see it now. It'd be an iconic moment for TFC. It'd be brilliant. Craig, in a perfect world?
Guinness in my hand.
Yeah. In a perfect world, Craig, in a perfect world, how are you saying farewell?
Oh, I would just have all the teammates I ever played with, all the nice ones, which is 99%, and had all of them in a big, huge conference room and just had a big party with the bare naked ladies.
Bare naked ladies, actually the band or with strippers?
Oh, by the way, hey, the I gotta bring this up.
Bring us, so to speak, you gotta bring what up, Jimmy?
Now that he said bare naked ladies, I got a text from an old teacher at my high school here in Heights. Him and a couple of people listened to the podcast, and he actually said, you forgot to mention Tyler Stewart. And Tyler Stewart was from the Bare Naked Ladies.
From your school? Really?
From my school, yeah.
He's the drummer, right?
He's a drummer. He went to my high school. Yeah. And that was from one of the teachers in the school, Simon Telfer.
Really? Simon Telfer. Thanks for the note. I think the Bare Naked Ladies are fantastic, by the way. They're such a great band.
Oh, and I got to give a shout out to Sal Greco as well, one of the teachers at the school.
Sal Greco, Sal thanks Greco. For listening, pal. We do appreciate it. Keep listening. And tell your students. Maybe it'd be a good class, you know, podcasting 101, and just listen to how not to do it.
That's right. Don't do
pick apart this podcast, right? You know, no actual intro per se. We just start mid-conversation. We never sign off properly. We forget to mention the sponsors. We're talking over each other. One person's internet sucks all the time. This is not how you do a podcast. All right, we'll come in and we'll talk. We'll actually explain what a challenge it is. How about that? That makes sense. But yeah, Bennekom Ladies, in the 90s, they were like the band, right? Yeah. Haven't been quite the same since Stephen Page left. I love his voice. That kind of that new wavy kind of voice, right? Mm-hmm. You know, kind of Morrissey kind of feel to it.
Mm.
Agreed. Yeah. Good.
Sure. But on a podcasting note, my brother Ian visiting with my niece Annie, and he was telling me he listens to the podcast regularly, and he said he loves it because he's like, watch you on TV and you're yourself, but you're TV Amy. He said, but I can listen to the podcast, and even if we haven't spoken for a couple days, I can listen to you and I know it's genuinely you. And he said he was putting up his Christmas lights a few weeks ago, and it was the episode where Wonger fact-checked me when I said me and Rian were up on the wall of the Barbie barn with David Amber, and Wonger was like, that's not David Amber. And my brother was laughing so hard he almost...
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Fell off the ladder putting up the lights. So that's that great. I think people listen because they know that they're 100% getting the real us, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. I miss Wonger.
did you guys get, well, I got the text. Did you guys get the text?
No.
No.
So I think it's from Tassie's phone. I think.
Is he okay?
Oh yeah, he probably lost it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's dead apparently, because I called this morning whilst we were potting and he didn't answer. But here's the answer that the message I got. Oh, this is at 7:51 a.m. So this is before the pod. So this is Dan.
Yeah. Jason's showing his broken finger, just for the record.
Hey all, I'm unable to make the pod this morning. We'll see you later today. I'm good, but need some hours. Apologies.
I need some hours.
We'll see you tonight.
I need some hours.
Can you do the same message in Steve Chang?
Hey, y'all, it's me, Steve. That's not Steve Chang, but
no.
Anyway, this girl I used to know when I was banging her in Argentina, and a friend as well.
Yeah,
and high fives everywhere.
Hey, there's Mike, who I worked with 18 years ago. Yeah. Give him a hug.
Exactly, he knows everyone. Wherever you are, he knows someone. Everybody. And do you know when he looks at you from across the table after when Steve Chang's coming out slowly, too many beers, he has that look, that warm, and that smile creeps across his face. And it's such a warm smile. He goes, I love you. I just love you. It's so great. So, Steve Chang's in his way, isn't he? Steve Chang's in his way. I miss that. We're going to miss that from Wonga. May you rest in peace.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, we should probably talk about, before I forget, MLS Cup Final coming up. Our boy, Max Crapo. One of the great comeback stories in MLS history, really. Broken leg in last year's final. Comes back in time, late in the season. Plays fantastic. 3 straight clean sheets to get to the final against Tim Bezpachenko and Columbus Crew. Although I don't think Bez is playing, but he's rather important in the construction of that team. But are you happy as LAFC Columbus in the final? Is that a final, Craig, that you think MLS want?
Well, I think from a the game standpoint, I think it sets up really well. Columbus scored an awful lot of goals. They're very offensive minded. They don't give up. I think they're 2-0 down in the last game against the league's best, I guess, with Cincinnati, and they just overwhelmed them second half with a couple of really good substitutions and got really after them. And that's really what Columbus is about. And if you're going to go on Tony bet, drop a little Tony bet there.
Nice.
I would say the over, because I think there's going to be goals, even though that they've kept three clean sheets LA in the last few games. I just don't see that happening in the final, but I do see LA pulling it off, but I don't see them keeping a clean sheet. But it sets up really well for a high scoring affair, hopefully. But overall, I think these two teams deserve it. Both finished third in their conferences or something. So it's a good story. With Max Crapo, forget the fact that, remember when he broke his leg, it wasn't even just the final. It was the fact that he missed the World Cup and being part of that squad where they went to Qatar. So emotionally, mentally, physically, everything that Max has gone through with an injury that could possibly end his career, it's an incredible story. And it's been fun texting him after games and keeping in contact with him about what he's doing. So he really handled it really well. And no matter what happens in the final, he really is quite an inspiration, as Max Crapo, really how he handled everything. Yeah.
Craig, we were talking last week, you weren't here, about Max and his position with Canada, right? And how he's making his way to being that number one, maybe in time for Copa, if they get that far, which we'll talk about later. But does he need to go out on loan this winter? And is that an option for him, do you think, given that he hasn't played much this season? And that I don't see a guy that's been in his offseason taking the gloves for those March games against Trinidad and Tobago. Is an option possible, do you think? A loan deal possible, sorry?
Honestly, I don't think so. Only from, if I was LA, I don't know if I'd want that necessarily. He needs a break because he's worked so hard to get himself back and then into the fray and then also playing so well. I'm not sure that would be something that I would recommend. But it would all depend, I guess, on how much he's going to be idle for in between times, which is a few months for sure, but I'm not sure best option is a loan spell.
If you're the national team as well, look, if I was in that position and I was with the CSA, I would be calling LAFC and trying to work out a deal to get him playing somewhere, because I know how important these games are coming up. And I would try to see if we could get him out on loan. Now, if you're LAFC, you're like, no, take some time off, kid. We've had a good run, and especially if they do win it and celebrate and take your time. But I think with the CSA, they've got to put a little bit of pressure on LAFC and try to get Max at least playing so that he's going into that next game fit and ready to go. Because you know what it's like. That's a hell of a lot of time off. And then all of a sudden going into an international game and the importance behind that match to get to the Copa America.
I think maybe there's that connection as well with Mark DeSantos.
I don't think national teams or associations have a say.
No, at the end of the day, it's the club, LAFC. They own them. So they'll decide what they want to do with them. But if I'm the CSA, I'm calling them up, just trying to have that conversation, just saying, look, is there any chance we can get him playing somewhere?
Yeah, because I think if he doesn't play, even if he does need the rest, like you were saying, Forrest, like working so hard to get back into the fray, performing at such a high level, I think the default, that they stay with the status quo. They stay with Borjan, because Max will just be idle for so many months. I mean, it's going to be March, right? By the time they face Trinidad and Tobago. Mm-hmm. That's too long.
Yeah, it's way too long.
Is it up to Max to put pressure on his club? I mean, if Max, the player, says, listen, I want to get some playing time here.
Yeah, he can ask. At that point,
he can,
Yeah, the player can ask. Absolutely, he can. Especially when you got that much time off. You know, if you went and sat down with the manager and, you know, the GM, and just said, look, I want to play. Can you get me out on loan? I need to get games, simply because, you know, and he's got a case as well, because he did break his leg. He was off for a long period of time. And then he obviously got back into the squad. He's been playing fantastic at the moment. And if he wants to continue that, I don't see why the club wouldn't allow him to keep playing, to keep sharp.
Unless they win and he decides to do the Jack Grealish celebration tour the next few months.
That could be very well.
But it's going to be a great game. And there's a lot of Canadian and also Quebec content on display. So you've got Wilfred Nancy, you've got Mo Farsi with Columbus, a lot of Quebecers and Canadians in that staff that went from CF Montreal with Nancy to Columbus.
And then you've got Corey Ray.
Yep. And you've got Mark DeSantos and Crepo with LAFC. And it's also like a tremendous clash of styles, right? You've got like this play, this possession play that Wilfred Nancy espouses, asks his players to be really brave, but they really buy into it and they really want to play it well. But it all, and then like Forrest was saying, they score bags of goals. They've scored the most goals in MLS this season, but it also leaves them vulnerable going the other way against an LAFC that plays this cutthroat counterattacking style with Buanga as your target guy looking to get him behind, who just a tremendous clinical finisher. And you've got Cucho on the other side. So since coming over from Watford, he's got a sick output as well. So it's like those two big stars, but also a great supporting cast, but a real clash of styles. So it's going to be a great final, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be very, very good football. And I love the way that Columbus play. Mm-hmm. It's entertaining. And look, we all love goals. And when you're watching a team that's successful playing good football and scoring week in and week out, I mean, to finish off with the most goals in the league, that says something. That says something about the brand of football that you're playing. It's very attractive. It's entertaining. So it should be a great match.
Just show also how you can turn teams around the MLS pretty quickly. Look at Columbus, right? When Best took over.
You think if you're Montreal right now, you're going, oh, for fuck's sake, we had this guy. What have we done?
Yeah, I mean, they were saying that when Cucho put up a hat trick against them when Nancy came back and they got humiliated at home 4-2. Like just absolutely trounced by them.
Yeah.
The fans and everybody around the club has been saying that for years. I mean, Nancy had been with the club since 2010.
Mm-hmm. He's done a fantastic job there. Remember last year, I mean, that was one of I think it was the greatest MLS final we've ever seen. And it's one of the great matches in a championship match we'd seen as well. It was incredible. So I look forward to this. Give me some predictions, people. What do you think in this one, Greg?
3-2 Los Angeles.
Mm.
Dubs?
I think it'll be high scoring as well. Man, I like that scoreline. I like that pick a lot, yeah. Forrest. I'm going to go 3-3, and then it goes into extra time, but not penalties, and Columbus win.
All right. Jimmy?
3-1 Columbus.
Oh, nice. Really?
Yeah.
Showing up those champion big time Charlies, huh? I like that. I'm thinking Pens. I'm going Pens in this one. 2-2 Pens.
Okay.
I'm going to go nil-nil, but everyone has a great time.
Football's the winner.
Yeah.
I like that. But don't actually, that would suck. Speaking of Copa America, so the draw was made yesterday, last night. And, I don't want to get Canadians. I mean, they by now, I'm sure most of them know the scenario here. If Canada gets by Trinidad and Tobago, which ain't a given at all, that's going to be some battle. They'll be pulled into Group A, or should I say Grupo A. That's my Spanish.
Grupos to you, Sharm.
With Chile, Peru, and Argentina. And they would actually open up Copa America. Oh, shut up. Chile?
Yes. Oh, got a bit Chile in here. Whew.
Here I am setting up one of the most iconic moments for Canadian soccer, and you're making fun of a country's name.
Which one?
Anyway, Peru.
Bless you.
No, Canada will be kicking off against Argentina to open up Copa America in the States somewhere. Kind of, you know what? I understand why it's in the States, right? I'm kind of disappointed that it is there because Copa America, I wanted to be in this South American hotbed, these crazy stadiums. I want to see, you know, poor television crackling through the screen, that real authenticity. That's what I want to see. But now they're going to be in this incredible, beautiful stadium, safe, incredible broadcasts. So I guess we'll do with that as well. But you know what I'm saying? It'd be nice to see. Like,
I agree, Sharms. And, you know, Forrest and I thought the exact same thing, too, in 2002, I think it was, when we were supposed to go to the Copa America. And we were like, that's what we want. And then we were supposed to go down to Colombia and we were supposed to play Argentina. And there was some political unrest. And we pulled out of that tournament because they didn't play in the States.
That is painful, eh? That must be one of the biggest disappointments of your careers. And careers full of disappointments.
Oh. Honestly. I mean, look, we've had a lot of disappointment. But that was a big one for us.
No kidding.
Copa America was huge. I couldn't believe we were going to go play in it. Nah.
Man,
yeah, there were some threats against players and potential killing some of the players. So I wasn't dead against not going at the time.
I was thinking, what do they want? What do they want us for? What are they going to get, a bag of chips if they kidnap us?
Imagine that, Canadian soccer player assassinated in Colombia. Like, wouldn't even make the news reels and the sports channels. No. For Christ's sakes!
Oh my God,
it wouldn't. Hey, meanwhile, San Jose played against Nashville in the hockey. Anyway,
when we pulled out of that Copa America, our government pulled us out, and then they were team short, so they asked Honduras, and Honduras, they're like, well, it can't be any worse than here. And they finished third, by the way.
Well, yeah, well.
And they couldn't lace our boots at the time.
Is that 2002 2001?
I think it was
2001, because 2002 was World Cup.
Yeah, or 2003 or something, yeah.
Or was it? So it's before Messi.
It was after Confederations Cup, I think.
It was after Confederation.
Yeah.
I think because we won the Gold Cup, went to Confederation, then we were supposed to go to the Copa.
Right, right. So it was pre-Messi, so yeah, you knew you could have won. You never know. But you never know, will you? Because you didn't get there. Something you must deal with.
But tons on the line here for our men's team, right? Like, is this the first time they've really had to, you know, despite all the discussions around who's going to be coming in to assume that coaching position, I think the pressure lies squarely with this group of players to really prove that they can overcome and then they can raise the level of their game again and be more consistent and to really perform when it's required in the big moments. So this single game elimination, you got to do it. And if you don't, then it's this massive opportunity missed for a lot of those guys to play against the likes of Messi and Argentina, but also for the program and to make sure it's going in the right direction towards 2026.
Yeah.
Well, and being Trinidad and Tobago in that hotbed of Frisco, it's going to be something. Please travel down there. We'll make empty promises about going down there as well as a podcast. Okay, let's do that now. Empty promises. We'll be there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What was I going to say? My God, I forget. My head's not where it should be right now. Okay, footy picks. Want to do that?
I will. Before you go on, Sharms, I will say this. I will say this much about the. Oh, sorry. I was going to say about the Copa America or about Canada, is that I forgot what I was going to say now.
That's my job.
What's going on with you two?
I got the freaking some raging cold. That's my excuse. Let me ask you this. So December, we're in December. As far as I understand, the CSA will be announcing a general secretary at some point this month. That's still on schedule. And then that general secretary will look at the coaching situation. What are the odds of Mauro Biello being in charge of that match in March, Jimmy?
I don't know. That's a good question, Charms. I mean, I know Mauro really wants it. He wants that job. He was disappointed, obviously, with the way things panned out in the last match. And unfortunate, you're only as good as your last match, and that's what you tend to get judged on. So I think when that next individual comes in, they'll obviously look at those matches, and I think they're going to have to make some tough choices. And if they want to go get another manager, they got to see who's available. And I don't know how many good managers, top managers are available right now. And it's not like the CSA is going to splash out millions of dollars on this manager to come in, you know? So there's a certain type of individual that they're going to be looking for, and that certain wage bracket as well. Mm-hmm. but I have no idea. No idea. It's so unpredictable who they're going to go after.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that Ancelotti was like, oh, Canada, maybe. if they reach out to me, who knows?
No, that's ridiculous. He's going to Brazil.
Yeah, and then he'd go, how much?
What? Yeah.
Yeah, forget it.
But it comes with a company car. Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. I got a feeling that whoever the new person is, General Secretary, if they're outside the Canadian soccer world, I don't know if they are, I assume they are, they might want to start with a brand new clean slate with a brand new name out there, perhaps less familiar in these circles. That's just my guess, my gut, but we're going to find out, I guess, pretty soon. Let's hit some footy picks, shall we, JC? Shall we roll Detroit City FC's new head coach, DJ Melody? Okay. So let me load up here. Have you guys actually done any research into this or not? Do you know what you're picking? I mean, I assume you're not.
Yeah.
You do? Okay. Let me just log in here. And the supporters club, who came through last week, have got their bet in. I will say that, Craig, you weren't here last podcast. Well, you were for half of it, but then you scarpered because your internet died. We're thinking about changing this to, rather than raising money for your casket, raising money for your either a new computer or a new Wi-Fi, something or other anyway, to make your network work better, okay? We're thinking about that. All right. So the supporters clubs. We're 35 bucks up, by the way, after what, 6 months? Chelsea to beat Arsenal in the WSL. They have Wrexham to beat Forest Green Rovers in League Two. By the way, I just started watching Wrexham Season Two. And Brighton to beat Burnley in the Prem. So combined, plus 539, $5 will win $31.95. Thank you, supporters club.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant. Okay, Dubs, where are you going?
Well, I'm very excited, I think, here to steal Craig Forrest's pick. I'm convinced of it. And I think Man City is going to turn it around against Luton.
Man City, you're going to turn it around? You think so, do you?
Yeah.
Wow. That's quite the – you're going on quite a limb there, Dubs.
I know.
So you know City's on the road, right? You know they're at Kenilworth Road, right? You know that, right?
Mm, yep.
-625 favorites to win that one. Okay, so City over Luton.
Yeah, using Wonger's terminology, they're going to be two bodies away from all the fans in the stands. <It's>, no. Two bodies.
Wonger does. Craig, what are you going with?
I'm going with Max Crapo in LA to beat Columbus.
Oh.
Okay.
And the over.
All right.
We're not winning any money for your Wi-Fi.
Bear with me. I'm trying to scan down to find this. We keep talking. Feel free to talk while I scan down on my phone here.
Ooh, that sounds...
Or not.
James. Let me tell you what I said to Wonger late last night. I said, you know, we got a Footy Prime Christmas party tomorrow night, right? Or should I say tonight, because it was already tomorrow. It's like, oh yeah. I was like, yeah, you're taking her easy, eh?
Okay. You got LA. Okay, that's done. All right. Jimmy.
I'm gonna Serie A, and I'm gonna take Inter Milan to beat Udinese.
I like that one. Okay. Inter to beat Udinese.
Good.
Minus 344 favorites there. So adds a little bit of value to our card, but not a ton. JC.
Hi. Well, in honor of Dan Wong not being on the pod today, getting some hours, I'm going to put in, I'm going to do Brentford. Brentford over Sheffield, because, I mean, as good as Sheffield's been lately, you know, I feel like Brentford's really going to pull out an upset. So let's go Brentford for me and for Steve Chang.
So as favorites, they're going to pull up the upset, eh?
100%.
What do you think of the Blades' new manager, JC?
Yeah. Well, what I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can look at it. You see, there's one. I mean, there's, you know, but I think it's going to be a great fit for the Blads. And so, you know, if it all works out the way that we all hope, the way that we expect it will, then it should go better than it was before, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. More of a cutting edge to their play, more incisive.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to really Absolutely. Just slice Blades. Through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'll be off the hilt.
Blades of steel.
Yes, exactly. I like that one. Okay. Should we go Man U over Bournemouth? Coming off a big win midweek. Hmm? At -178. They're our favorites, obviously, at Old Trafford. And that would really help, actually, our card here.
Yeah, you've got a striker like McTominay.
I know, highest scorer in United, 2 goals midweek. I'm going to rue this. I'm going to go Man United. They let me down constantly, but that really boosts our little parlay here. So that gives us odds of +1,210. So $5 wins us $65.50.
Ooh, wow! Oh,
shit.
Yeah,
Craig's getting a ColecoVision.
ColecoVision, that's amazing. All right, that was tonybet.ca, by the way, giving us those wonderful odds as we raise money to get Craig some form of working internet, despite the jovial laughs we have with it failing each week. All those games, by the way, you can catch on FuboTV, fubotv.com/footyprime. Wonger, we hope you're doing okay. We have missed you. We might see you tonight. We might not, but we're back for sure on Sunday night / Monday morning, right? Everyone's good for that? Gonna watch the football?
Sounds good.
Fubo TV, keep buying newspapers. Cheers for watching and listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Beck. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeIG.
Done.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.